Greetings to you all. I'm going to be speaking with you today about beginning a new life. And as we think of this together, I want you to think about what you feel able to change and what you feel unable to change. Because the boundaries between those two things are not fixed, they're fluid. One of the boundaries that gets created between the things we feel we can change and the things that we feel we can't change are the agreements that we've made on a soul level to accept a certain amount of helplessness in life. This helplessness can come from a limiting physical condition, or it can come from a limiting emotional condition, or it can come from a limiting energetic condition. So because we exist in human form and are primarily related to our thoughts as we think them on a conscious level, it's not often that we're aware of the limitations that we have taken on a soul level. And so for that reason, it's not often that we know why in a situation where we desire to have change occur, it seems like it's not possible. So, to start out with, we need to honor those conditions that, however we might conceive it, our souls have chosen in service to God, in service to our own healing, and in service to the earth, which may have caused a certain amount of helplessness in this life. This helplessness is not wrong. It's not something that is occurring because we've done something wrong. It's occurring strictly for the purpose of contributing to growth, either our own growth or the growth of others whom we're serving. Some of you may know personally someone in your sphere, your daily life or family, who has accepted a body that has significant physical limitations in it. And you may be able to see within that person something of the spirit flourishing in the presence of those physical limitations. You may be able to feel that another avenue of growth is taking place even in the presence of those limitations. So we can say, in beginning a new life, that we can always hold a desire for change that seems beneficial. We can always wish for change that allows us to become more free. This is part of our soul's desire for us and God's desire for us, that we become fully free to be ourselves. So we can wish for that and hope for that, and at the same time accept the limitations that seem to be given from the level of the soul, things that seem immutable. Sometimes we hold things to be immutable that are not immutable. Sometimes, and especially concerning our emotional life, we hold things to be fixed because that's the way they've always been. So here is a place where we need to question our assumptions about how we are living, especially in relation to emotions. Because for most of us, emotions are feelings, energies, thoughts that we've carried from the long distant past. And why have we carried them? We've carried them in an effort to heal them. We've carried them until the conditions would permit their healing within us. So we bring them forward from lifetime to lifetime so that they have a chance to interact with our current experience, come into the light of a new day, and they can be healed by our learning and growth. However, very often these currents of emotion, and also thought which is connected with emotion, become very deep. And so we get used to thinking a certain way because we've always thought that way. And here, beloved ones, is the big step forward that human beings and each of you and all of us are being called upon to take now. Because light is expanding on the earth, and because light is expanding within each person and each being, non-human as well, that's embodied, we are now capable of redefining our identity from its context in our historical past to a different frame of reference. Without light being present, without light supporting us in a new way, in a new time, to a new degree, this would be immeasurably more difficult, immeasurably more difficult, because the grooves of consciousness that are ingrained in us from the past can be very deep. And so, with the support of light, God's light, manifestation of the divine intentionality, we can decide, through assuming that this is true, we can't decide this if we don't believe this is true, that the belief in being defined by the past is a belief, that it is part of our equipment as physically embodied beings to think in linear terms. What does that mean? We think from the before to after. We think from the past to the present to the future. So we have thought that way. We are used to thinking that way in linear terms. But, beloved ones, the presence of spiritual light means that we can be lifted out of that context if we choose to be, and define ourselves spherically. God at the center, God in relation to us, God creating our soul's essence, God creating our soul's qualities, God in each moment, God defining what does this moment mean. We can be lifted out of linearity, of linear thinking from the past to the present to the future, into spherical thinking, where we are part of a circle of life and God is at the center. And the circle of life is our own life. It's also the larger life, but we start out with the personal. God is at the center. And all of time shifts from being linear to being relational in the moment. Every single moment is only about what is our present relationship with God in this moment. That's all it's about. So, you see, this is a big shift, and it requires our willingness to rethink what we hold to be most important in our identity, and whether we trust enough and have faith enough in the goodness of the divine plan for us and for the earth, to be in that relationship, primary, spherical, so that we can leave the life that we had, which is formed by past experience, and be in the unknown of what is God asking of this moment in which I am in relationship with the divine. That's the main question. The problem arises for many people. Well, several problems arise. First of all, because of a habitual tendency to think in separated terms, to think that we're alone with our own problems. We are still trying to figure things out. When we have a problem, we try to figure it out by thinking about it, by remembering what we did the last time, by considering other people's opinions about our problem, by thinking about what makes sense in a common sense way. Those are ordinary, human responses to dealing with life's challenges. We think in terms of problem solving with our minds, and we think in the same way, using the rationale of what's happened before to apply to what's happening now. Yes, this is very common. So, there has to be sufficient trust to let go of that logical, historical thinking, that linear thinking. Sufficient trust that if we entrust ourselves to the unknown in the present moment when something comes up, that a new answer can come to us about the question that we're asking. A new answer can come because we are in a perpetually unfolding relationship with God, with the divine, with truth, with what we understand reality to be. So a new answer can come up. Now sometimes, because we feel shaky about this matter of trust in the divine, historically shaky, when an answer doesn't come quickly enough or clearly enough, we feel we're on our own again, that we're not going to have a clear relationship with the divine, that perhaps it's in principle true, but it's not in reality true. So we get scared and go back to our old ways of figuring things out, the linear historical ways. But if we can get past that fear, the fear of trusting God's relationship with us, ever present, and if we can be willing to allow for a short or long space of time in which we're solely looking towards, magnetically almost, looking towards the divine relationship to tell us how to be new in this moment, how to be. If we can sustain ourselves in trust, trusting the goodness of divine connection with us, then we can go through the waiting period of unknown, if it is unknown, until something new arrives in our consciousness. All too often, there is the retreat that takes place into the logical and the familiar, and then we keep repeating old patterns. But I want to convey to you the importance of trusting the divine relationship ever present, even in the presence of the unknown, even in those moments of waiting when it seems that nothing clear is being given to us as a direction. And even if those moments of waiting become longer and they become days of waiting or weeks of waiting or months of waiting, we are still in relationship with the divine, spherically, God at the center, our life circling around the divine core of who we are, God at the center. Whether we flee from that or we don't flee from it, whether we're afraid to trust or we do trust, the truth is still the truth. God is at the center, and we are part of a relationship that is eternal, that is called the covenant, in which there is a mutual interaction of love and exchange of devotion. We are ever, forever, in that relationship, whether we retreat or not. But if we go back into linear thinking and our history and say this is what's going to happen again because this is what's happened before and this is how it's going to be, then we don't create the space for something new to happen. You know, we know historically in the U.S., the quest that took place towards the West and what was called the conquering of the frontier. We have a historical image because in elementary school and in junior high school and high school, and for those in other countries, a similar thing may have occurred with other kinds of historical narratives. That there was a period of time in the history of every country where land was not defined, where land had to be discovered, where land had to be located, where it wasn't known where one would finally locate. And in the United States, this is true in a very dramatic way because the country was very large, and those who decided to settle elsewhere had to spend a long period of time not knowing where they were going and not knowing where they were going to end up, just having a vision of something new that would become possible. And this vision sustained those who were the explorers, the frontiersmen or women, those who were pioneers. So that's a physical analogy. But we need to take that analogy into our own emotional, spiritual, energetic life so that we can have a vision of the new becoming possible and sustain ourselves with the understanding that it is possible even while it hasn't arrived yet, that it is possible. We become pioneers within our own emotional life. And if we can do that, then we begin a new life, a life that is relational, a life that is spherical, a life that holds God at the center. The risk of needing to wait until that life clarifies is like the risk of moving out into unknown territory where you have a vague idea where you're going to end up, but you really don't know. And what allows that to be possible? Trust. Trust in the goodness of the divine creator with whom we are in perpetual relationship. Trust. So, for those of you who wish to begin a new life, and there are many of us who do, I say again, there are conditions that your soul may have chosen of limitation that have a higher priority than your personal embodied desire for change. Your soul is the guardian of your movement forward in terms of progressive healing. And for those of you who have a wider sphere of service, your soul has chosen, in accordance with divine ordination, to accomplish a service for a larger group of people, some for the entire earth. So it's not every condition that can be eliminated through directing oneself to the core divine relationship, because in a sense, that core divine relationship is infusing your soul's choice. But there is a large sphere, a very large sphere, in which the choice can be made to begin anew. The choice can be made through trusting yourself as a child of the divine, as a created being by the one creator of all, as one who is eternally loved and eternally watched over by the divine, to bring yourself fully into that divine relationship, fully, without reservations, and allow God to define your life in each new moment. This is the way, beloved ones, of beginning a new life, and it belongs to each soul, no matter what the external conditions of their life. It belongs to each soul because each soul has a primary relationship with God. May all souls come to recognize, honor, and trust this relationship, and may it bring blessings that are unanticipated to those who seek the deeper truth of who they are. Blessings and Amen.